You want to render all of them redundant in one day. You don't get the point. It's like releasing Mandela. All the reggae artists suddenly decided getting born again. You didn't notice? Ah, you guys, you know, open your eyes. Before it was free Mandela, la 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 la, everything. Mandela, equal rights and justice. A black man, a white man. They wanted they freed Mandela. All right, okay, take the Mandela. The next thing we will know is, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Brother, begin born again, shall shaf, Abba. How you not go for another job? They don't liquidate the other appointments. The company are gone under. Are you following what I'm saying? Now listen, that's how radical Christianity is. It comes and scatters everything. There are people who are architects who exist only for designing churches. Paul came preach and said, you guys don't have a job again. Better go and design something else. Please, I hope what I'm saying, I hope you're following it. That was the bad thing about Christianity. Very, very radical. So Paul now preached. I'm giving an introduction to the book of Galatians. We are still going to read it. Paul now preached. Galatians got converted. They began to practice Christianity. Then some people, Jews of course, said, no, it cannot be like that. They now came into the Galatian church to come and teach them about how to obey the laws of Moses that they might be pleasing to God. Your sons needed to be circumcised. You men needed to be circumcised. Sabbath day, you don't go out. You know, we're not saying that's the way you are justified, but you know, it's still, you know, you start telling stories. That was what Paul heard, and he was vexed. Get my point. Paul heard that, and there was trouble in his soul. If you go and read all the letters of Paul, it's always greeting, plenty greeting. Even those who were taking their father's wives, I've heard of your faith. That you don't draw back in any gift. That you're increasing in knowledge, and all kinds of gifts are manifested. He knew people were taking their father's wives, but the man just relaxed. This was a church that had divisions. They would come to church. Pastor Banky's camp, sit on this side. Bishop, somebody's camp on this side. Apostle Mark on this side. They were in camps, and as you are preaching, say, don't mind it. Okay, that's Baptist theology. Oh, Lord. He hasn't come to listen to Apollos. Apollos will have dissected that for him. And somebody is preaching. Dissension in church. Do you follow my point? Paul knew all of this, yet he was greeting them. I've heard of your faith. You guys are doing well. The Galatians, it seemed like they were teaching them how to walk righteously. There was no greeting. He just introduced himself. He said, I'm amazing. I don't begin crazy, sharp, sharp. I'm serious. That's how I started. You will see. Let's now begin to read. The book of Galatians chapter 1. We'll finish on time. It says, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor from the agency, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ, describing his apostleship now, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren who are with me, that is, we are all writing to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil age. And this everything is according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. This is just introduction, that is, introducing himself. The next line, he said, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you. Their purpose, they want to distort the gospel of Christ. Let me just stop there for a moment. You see what I'm saying? Paul introduced himself and immediately jumped into the matter at hand. Paul is always very kind. You see him here raining curses on people. Let's read it so that then before I pass my comment. He said, even though we, or an angel from heaven, verse 8, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. I hope you are getting that point. Let me read it from New Living Translation. You'll get the point. He said, verse 8, let God's curse fall on anyone including myself, who preaches any other gospel than the one we told you about. But that's not easy. You see, this English, let me give you a Nigerian English. God punish anybody that says anything differently from what I said before. It no go better for the person. That's what Paul was saying. You know, is this English that says, let him be accursed? You think it's a woman talking. May the curse of the Lord be upon... That was not what Paul was saying. Paul said, hear me. Anyone who twists this scripture, who's preaching something different from what we have preached, he no go better for him. God punish him, punish him again. That's what Paul was saying. He said, even if not me, even if it's me. Now, why am I saying? To let you know the gravity of what he was dealing with. That is, Paul found more hope for the man who's competing with his father for a woman. That there's more hope for him than the one who departs from Christianity and returns to Judaism. Do you understand the point? That is, it is a better thing for me to hear if people are having division amongst you. I will find there's grace to solve that. I can push a man to repentance, no matter the evil he's doing. But when he departs from the grace of Christ Jesus and starts walking by himself to please God through obeying the laws of Moses, that's a dangerous case. If you go and read the book of Hebrews, when he was saying if a man should draw back, that there remains no sacrifice for such sins, listen to me, he was not talking about the man who begins to smoke and drink. All of us think that drinking is a sin and smoking is a drink sin. I don't know where we read those funny gospels from. You can smoke and go to heaven. Pastor Banky, Pastor Banky, take it easy. God doesn't judge a man from smoking Igbo. Now yourself, you worry. I don't know what you're trying to say. You want to smoke ordinary cigar? Listen to me. I'm a preacher and I'm a doctor. The problem with cigar is health. It's not spiritual. I don't smoke. Don't think I'm defending my bad habit. But this is what I'm telling you, as a matter of fact. This problem with cigarette is health. It's not spiritual. You see a lot of lying people. Cheating people. Christians who can't do straight business. But they think they are good Christians. They don't smoke. So that guy is a Christian. He said, I don't think he's a Christian. He said, why? Can't you see a cigarette in his hand? The man telling you that, he just stole your $50. I think he's a Christian. No, Christians are very fun. I told you that one day, D.L. Moody, he went to England and he had been reading C.H. Spurgeon's materials, been blessed by them greatly. So he went to meet C.H. Spurgeon for the first time. He rang the bell, Spurgeon opened the door, and there was a pipe in his hand. D.L. Moody wanted to fall down. Ha! Now, C.H. Spurgeon, you see his books around. Spurgeon was one of the greatest preachers of all time. He used to gather, I think, about 12,000 people to listen to him preaching in London. You won't believe that happened in this white man's London. It used to happen. Spurgeon's materials were all over the Christian world. Moody was a great American preacher, and Spurgeon was a man who used to inspire him, and he was looking forward to the day he would meet Spurgeon. I said that he met Spurgeon, and Spurgeon was smoking. The man looked and said, what? How can you, a preacher, smoke? Spurgeon looked at him and said, how can you, a preacher, be fat? Because to the English preacher, a fat man is not fasting. This is not a joke. It was a sin amongst the preachers in England to be fat. Spurgeon was Moody was an American guy, you know what I mean? Americans have a large heart and a large body. Those guys are large. So he came with his stomach rolling. How is he looking like? This guy is a preacher. Look how fat he is. Meanwhile, then that guy came. I couldn't understand why a preacher should be smoking. Now, please, I hope you get my point. Sometimes we just build up our own laws and put... Now, listen. If you want to smoke on your own, don't say Pastor Banky that says you should go and smoke. Now you go get lung cancer, not be me. Are you getting what I'm saying? And don't come for me to pray after. Let us pray right now to deliver you from the evil. Bondage is bondage. Amen? It's not a sin to be bound in court, but you need deliverance. If you are bound to... smoking, drinking too much coffee, chewing cola, dipping snuff,
And if you're on cocaine, man, you're in trouble. That one, we need to pray urgently. Deliver you sharp, sharp. This is just by the way, I know I'm digressing. If you're on cocaine, let me tell you where your problem started from. You wanted to impress somebody. They said Whitney Houston was on cocaine. I couldn't believe it. With such a beautiful God-anointed voice, Houston was on cocaine. I said, anyway, it's not her fault. When you go marry a mother, you should have known. Of all the beautiful husbands in that area, boy, you see marry. All right? I know why people like that are smoking cocaine. They have to do shows every other night. I think in 1989 or 88, Shinon Peters played 360 days in a year. You hear what I said? You remember that song? Now, you want to play music? I know this kind of, just a shake, run up and down. The whole night, every night, for 360 days, you got to smoke something. Believe me, you have to smoke something. Don't pray against it. You have to smoke something. If you want to do it, you got to smoke something. That is why Pastor Banky doesn't pray. You know that's why I take break in December. Have you not noticed? Because I don't want to smoke anything. So December, I take my holiday. I don't want to smoke anything. Every once in a while, in fact, you know, I have my rules now. Invitations here and then. Once people appear, invitations, I say, I know they go. Before you finish, I say, is it a letter in your hand? The answer is no, on the proof otherwise. Let me have the letter. I quickly read it. Say, see, I told you I'm not going anywhere. You know why? I don't want to smoke anything. I don't want to smoke anything. You can't preach effectively. We're talking for hours a day. Oh boy, eventually you will smoke something. Otherwise, you will collapse and become sick. There's no rule. Listen, you can't pray against it. You cannot. That's how the Lord did it. You cannot pray against it. You can't. You actually can't. Anyway, let me just sit on our message, please. All right? Now, so the point I'm making here is this. That I'm just talking about this issue of people making laws and all that. That's how I went into that. So, you see, for Paul here, this was a grave matter. A very grave matter. That, you know, people are departing from the power that is in Christ Jesus. You see, look, all this smoking thing, all those other problems, we can solve it. That's what he was saying. If we hold on to that which is the power of God unto salvation. Do you understand my point? But when we depart from it, then there's a serious issue. That's why when he started, he was not at all kind. Those committing adultery, he was kind to them. Those causing divisions in the house, he was kind to them. But when it came to those who were departing from the gospel, he said, no, this is a different matter. They are hitting at the bottom of our power. Our ability to solve. That's one thing about human trials. Initially, you think it's trying to help you, but it's removing your ability to solve problems later. Are you getting my point? Remember when Asa sinned against God? What was his sin? For 35 years, no trouble. Another 36 years. The 37th year, wahala came up. He now went to negotiate to solve a problem, and it worked. And the prophet Hanani looked at him and said, from now on, you are going to have wars. It worked, but what you did was to erode the foundation of stability. Do you understand the point I'm making here? So that's why Paul was raking. He said, I'm amazed that you guys have gone this way. He said, look, even if he's an angel, let a curse be upon him. Now listen, let's continue reading. I've introduced it very well. So, verse 9 now. And as we have said before, so again I say now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. From verse 10, is now. In fact, I want to read on from New Living Translation from verse 10. He said, obviously, I'm not trying to be a people pleaser. No, I am trying to please God. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be Christ's servant. Please, we need to understand that. You see, when we are doing this exegesis, I want us to, as we go on, I pick out a few key points, apart from the main text, all right, main sense that Paul is trying to make. I pick out a thing here and there that can help all of us in our everyday lives. Listen, in this your life, the most important thing
for you, all right, as you walk, is to ensure that you are walking as a servant of Christ. Do you understand my point? You know, I said something on that when I introduced that subject yesterday on radio. I said there are seven attitudes that produce failure that I want to talk about. And I said one of them is when people don't have sound principles, or they have principles and they bend those principles every time to get results. That's a man that's going to fail. You know, there was a home movie. Let me tell you the story. You want to hear a story? That day they were showing African magic in the house. A young man was very poor. Listen to this. Very, very poor. And he had a girlfriend whose father was fairly well-to-do, apparently. And cut a long story short here. Together, they were so closely knit in heart, they agreed to defraud her father, to help him go to school. The man died in the process. When he found out his heart was broken, he felt very bad. He became sick and he died. Let me cut a long story short. The girl didn't go to school. All right? She couldn't pass her exam, but she was still engaged to this guy. The guy got a very nice job in an oil company. And then the chairman of the company liked him very much and started trying to help him, raise him up in the company and all of that. And then one day he invited him to his house for dinner with his fiancée. So they came together. And, I mean, fine girl, nice guy. Then the man called him to the side and said, well, I have a proposal for you. I'm sick, I'm dying. I want you to be the next chairman of this multinational oil company. Do you understand? That's breakthrough, amen? He said, the only thing is that you need to marry my daughter. So I told my wife, I know where the story is going. I pride myself in being a predictor, an accurate predictor of storylines in Nigerian home movies. Except that day, they defeated me so badly. Even I had to admit that I give hand to whoever wrote this story. They said it was Omotola that wrote it. I said, she tried. She made me go wrong. Because I said this is what will happen. He will marry the boss's daughter. He will divorce his fiancée, of his friend of many years. And then they will discover that the girl is pregnant. And then the son will rise up. And then fight later in life. My wife said, how do you know? I said, it's an Indian movie. I watched it when I was young. I said, maybe today is that. Okay, there was one that I watched when I was young, an Indian movie. So she said, all right, let's watch it now. But cut the long story short, the girl appeared, the boss's daughter appeared, and very fine girl too, very, very pretty girl. And you know, nobody's saying a bad girl, you know, maybe the man wants to have to marry a bad girl. This was a nice, decent, well-educated, fine girl of a very rich father. So the temptation was plenty. The guy went to talk to his father. The father said, look, you know how we used to be very poor. He said, what about the other girl? He said, you will say to her, what can money not handle? Anyway, let me cut a long story short. So he decided to take that line. He now started pestering the boss's daughter to marry the boss's daughter, that he might take over from the boss as the chairman of the company, and of course, owner, because the man owns the company totally. Even the boss's daughter was angry, that what's wrong with you? We said, we won't tell my father that we are not planning to marry, just to make the man feel happy for a while. Let's pretend like we are checking each other out. And you're already going like... Anyway, cut the long story short. The boss found out, called the boy, and said, you disappointed me. I actually like you so much. I actually wanted you to take over from me. Except that I was looking for a man of integrity. If you can do this to this girl that you told me, helped you all your life, that without her, you are nothing. She has nothing else apart from you. And you want to drive her away just so you can help my company. He said, get out of my sight. I know why I like the movie. They just ended it there. No, the judge, the lawyer just came in because the man had written a will with the boy's name included. The lawyer walked in. He said, yes, there are some changes I want done on my will. And the film just ended there. I told my wife, these people, they beat me to it this time. They try. Very interesting. Because before I saw that movie, I had even written that thing I wrote on radio. I had this piece of paper I've been carrying in my bag for weeks on what I'll talk about next on radio. The seven attributes of failure. When people don't have principles, whatever you want to do in life, Paul said it, that's why I'm talking about it. I have to do it as a servant of Christ. Do you understand my point? That is, what it means that I'm serving the purpose of Christ in what I am doing. If it is not going to serve Christ's purpose, I'm not interested. Somebody was telling me the other day, we're talking about business matters, all this one of inflating contracts or government and all of that. He said, look, following all the things that I have said, he has said that any job he loses, because he doesn't want to participate in some iniquity, he'll go and write the value down. That, Lord, this is among the money that I used to buy a good name. Yes. That, listen, I have to be a servant of Christ. And whatever it is you do, make sure that you are not doing as a man pleaser. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, if I say this, by the way, well, I'll just say it briefly, then I won't develop it. The only time Paul got into problems in his life was when the other, oh God, may you not go to Jerusalem. I know you won't say, may you don't understand what I'm saying. May you not go to Jerusalem. You can go on tour, but there's something what I am saying. I will explain it. May you not go to Jerusalem. May you not go to the center of men that you respect and hold in high esteem, and they settle you down in their midst and use the love you have for them and the society and the fact that you respect them so much. May they not use that influence to turn you against the will of God. That's what I mean by may you not go to Jerusalem. The time Paul stepped into Jerusalem and began all those kind of negotiations with Peter, James, that was when Wahala began for him. After that, God said, I will not release you from prison. Put him in jail, and he died in jail. What I'm saying is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I know what I'm saying. Very, very, very correct. When you become a man pleaser, rather than being a pleaser of God. Listen, in life, let me say it again. God didn't send him to come and get results in life. You know what? He didn't at all. God is not going to get to heaven and say, okay, come. How many results did you get? You know, he doesn't do that. Do you know he does not do that? Paul said, each man receives his reward according to his labor, not according to the results. If God says, go and plant 1,000 seeds of corn, you planted 1,000 seeds and went home. Another man planted his 1,000 seeds. He got a reward of 100,000 seeds. That's fruit. You got nothing. The day of judgment, they say, how many seeds did you plant? He says, it's 1,000, sir. Full reward. Paul said, you get your reward according to what? Your labor. You know why? Because Paul plants, Apollos waters. It's God that gives increase. God doesn't give you reward for the job that he did. He gave the increase. What's your problem? Do you understand my point? Yes, go and plant. That's what we said. In life, therefore, that's how you view things. It's obedience to the will of God that matters to you. It's not the result you got out of it. That's why you say that after serving God, what have I got? That's nonsense. I wasn't supposed to get anything from serving God. I was supposed to serve God and go home. Look, hear that thing again. If anybody tell you that, wave your tithe booklet to God, slap yourself, say, I won't do it. If you can't slap him now, you know, can you go and slap the preacher in front? You can't, so you have to slap yourself. See, for everyone hearing this thing, you slap yourself. All the counterforce of the offerings you have given, wave it to God and say, God, see. You're saying, God, I will never do that. In Jesus' name, I will never do that. Beat your hand. That's nonsense. You're not supposed to get anything from serving God. Did I hear an amen? No, but just take it like that. I'm not saying God won't bless you. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's not what I'm saying. God will bless you. In fact, he said it, that I have not asked them to serve me for nothing. I promised them a reward. So you are going to get your reward. What I'm saying is that when you want to serve God, take your eyes off the reward. You see, it's when your eye is focused on the reward that it seems to take forever to come. Listen, it can be discouraging. I'm not saying it's not discouraging. But that is why you have come here to hear encouragement. Are you getting my point? That's why I said you should not forsake the gathering together of believers. So that you can do what? Encourage one another. Because you can get discouraged. It's when you focus on the reward that it appears as if the thing is taking time to come. Paul said it clearly here. He said, if I'm trying to please people, I will not be a servant of Christ. That's what I want to bear in mind. And what's most important to you as a believer is that you must be what? A servant of Christ. So whatever you want to do, just check, how does the Lord think about this? What does he think? If I'm doing it according to what is his pleasure, fine. Whether I get the result or not, doesn't matter. I like the way my pastor Pedro in Lagos would say he does this. Very, very instructive. Never forgot that expression. He said, what is the will of God?
do the right thing. The consequence is the will of God. What is the will of God? Do the right thing. The consequence is the will of God. Alright, so let me just summarize where we were there. So he said, dear brothers and sisters, obviously I'm not trying to be a people pleaser. No, I'm trying to please God. If I was still trying to please people, I would not be Christ's servant. And like I said, for all of us in life, what is important, okay, is that we are Christ's servant. In anything we are doing, let us make sure we do that which is right. You do that which is right. Okay? That's what it means to be a servant of Christ. You're not trying to please people. You're not even trying to please one prophecy that you just decided to believe by yourself. You are trying to please God. And when you walk like that, the result, which is the will of God, is what will come out of your life. Let me just summarize, because I think our time is exhausted for the day. The point I've made, which is most important today, is that you see that Paul was very, very, very inflamed here when he began this letter. It was cool when people committed sin. What you and I would think is sin. Do you understand my point? Moral issues. It was very cool. Look at the Corinthians. He talked to them very nicely. He talked to people very nicely and then encouraged them with the word of God. Even go and see the Corinthians. At the end of the day, there was a time he was fighting them seriously. You know, you guys think I'm weak. That this man is weak when he's present. But he's not only bold when he's absent. He said, wait till I come. Anger, fight. But when he was going to introduce the letter to those people, he was very nice. I know of your faith. I've heard of your faith far and wide, and I pray for you. These people, nothing like that. He introduced himself and his gospel, and he began to use the vilest of words that you ever heard from his mouth. Listen, forget this, let him be accursed. The current day word is God punish the person. Why? Because they are hitting at the center of Christianity. They are trying to emasculate that power of God. All right? They want to remove the power, because that power is what can change people. To the sinner that he was cool with, the reason is because if the gospel is there, the person can be changed. But when you remove the gospel, do you follow? Then it becomes a very serious problem. And that's why, as it was going on in this book, we'll discuss that one. We'll continue from here, from this verse 11, when we come back. You'll see that what he tried to do was to establish that he knew what he was saying. That he's not trying to propagate somebody else's idea. The way by which he got his gospel was that Jesus physically appeared to him. Really. In his conversion, you know what happened? Afterwards, the Lord appeared to him several times and taught him the gospel. The narration of the Last Supper, Paul was not there physically, but he got the narrative accurately, because when the Lord would visit him and talk to him, he told him, the last night before I was betrayed, this was what happened. And he described it, and Paul recorded his own. He wasn't recording what Peter said or what somebody else said. And you see, as we go, I think that this is one of the tradition. Listen, it's not today, it's one of the craziest problems Christians have to overcome. With all the experience Peter and co had, these Jew Gentile things, you don't blame the Americans who can't seem to preach a straight message now. They have spoiled. Look, it's so difficult for God to reach the Arab as long as these Americans keep broadcasting their nonsense into the air. Because they are portraying the God of the Lord Jesus Christ as an anti-Arab man. He's a supporter of Israel. All his children support Israel. And listen, I've listened to Derek Prince, and I know the Jews have suffered. No, listen. Very few people on earth have suffered like the Jews. Very few. I'm not aware of any group of people that have suffered for a long time like the Jews. They have suffered. I don't want to discuss the reason why they have suffered. All right? Now, like somebody said, for them, the fight in the Middle East. Arabs are fighting for land, right? Israel is fighting for existence. You don't understand? The Arab is fighting for land. Israel is fighting for the right to exist. You can't defeat them, forget. Except God wants to wipe them out. On the natural plane, you are doing suicide bombing. The reason why the Israelis are not suicide bombing is because they don't need to. They are inside. They are protecting the territory. Otherwise, nobody can suicide bomb like those guys. They have seen trouble. And Israelite doesn't even understand why he should suicide bomb you. He will go kill you and leave. The suicide bomb you die in the process. Kill 50 people. The Israeli. You rather go there, kill 50 people, and walk away gently.
so that I can kill another one another day. Now, what I'm going to say is that those guys, they are determined to survive. So I'm not even judging that at all. No, not at all. But you see, put that on one side. If you know the anger in the heart of a young Palestinian boy, you don't understand. That is, the young Palestinian, the young Israeli boys now, it's stories they hear. Do you understand? It's stories. It happened those days that were rounded off and 6 million of us were killed in just a few months. It happened those days that the Turks invaded this and this one happened. It happened those days that were, that is stories. To the Arab right now, the Palestinian, he sees the Israeli soldier evacuate his parents from land and then they built a Jewish settlement on it. He is angry. Listen, he's as angry and as angry as you can see anger. He feels oppressed more than anything else. This is why I'm saying this. You cannot preach that he should come and serve the God that doesn't love him. I don't know what I understand what I'm saying. You can't. We get up, we preach, which is a lie, that the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is a friend of the Israeli soldier who kicked his father off his land and planted a house on it while he's homeless and now stays in a refugee camp. What I'm trying to say to you guys is that the Americans misrepresent that God. They don't tell the truth about him. We make it look as if, you see, you are an evil person. Go out. God's people are about to come in. It pains me because that's not the truth. The truth is that God wants both your oppressor and you the oppressed. He wants both of you to repent and he will settle you in comfort. Are you getting what I'm saying? So once we start, look, listen, once we continue handling this gospel the way our brethren in America is handling it, in fact, I believe that all these so-called Islam enemies and all of that, they're only as strong as our analysis of the scripture is weak. If we preach the true word of God, we will lift Jesus Christ up and indeed, he will draw all men unto him. We have not been lifting him up. There are things I can't see, but just sometimes... No.